Morning, everybody. You guys turn the Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 16. I believe, Lord willing, this will be our second to last message out of the book of Romans today. So, guys, I got to say, I just found it fitting that Kendall shares birthday with Kevin. I mean, I just feel like Kendall's the next, he's the next Kevin. From Kevin, or from when Kendall first became a Christian, and he just started digging into he loves the classes Kevin's taught. Tamina's joked around with me that, you know, Kendall's favorite thing to, well, the way she said it was joking around, I can't remember the joke of it, but basically that Kendall likes to go work on projects and listen, you know, he spends more time with Kevin than he does with her, basically, something along those lines. So, it's just fitting. I like it. You can tell by the stuff he picks out from the scripture and stuff. So, Kevin, hang on a few more years, man. Let's get him trained up, and we'll be in good hands. So, all right, you guys are in Romans 16. I need to get there because public reading, some really good stuff. Just Jehoshaphat. But man, he had one glaring weakness, and we've seen it through making, you know, basically becoming allied with people who weren't on the Lord's side. And guys, there is pressure all the time. And just team up with us. You know, come on, just show Christian love and work together with us. Hey, if they're enemies of the Lord, you can't do that. And Jehoshaphat, he got sucked into that a few different times. But there was some good in him. And he set his heart to seek God, and there were some good things he did, and good exhortation also to the judges there that we read today. So it's a good reminder for all of us who are wanting to do the Lord's will. Really appreciate the stewardship and Lord's Supper today. I don't have time to say much about him except Mike kind of preached the first point of my message, which still worked out great. So, Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 21 through 27. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. And so do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman. I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. And Quartus, the brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him who is able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise your glorious name. We are thankful, incredibly thankful, Lord, for the gospel, for the preaching of it. It's been made known, Lord, through the prophets. It's been revealed to us in the last days, the mystery. Excited, Father, about that, and we're thankful for your indwelling spirit that you made available to all the nations, leading to that obedience of faith. Father, we're thankful for your ability to establish us. We know that apart from you, our houses, our kingdoms will fall. But Lord, if you build the house, then it stands. I just ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I'd be in accordance with the truth, and that we just consider, Father, your gospel and what it means to be established in you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, actually, the first thing I just wanted to hit on here is you see a little bit of the teamwork that Mike talked about. You know, verses 21 through really 23, there's a few different people that are mentioned. And Timothy, here specifically, is mentioned as Paul says is his fellow worker. And we've seen that earlier, some people in Rome, that the greetings were sent to some of the fellow workers. But now, these are greetings from this group of people. And the group of people the greetings are coming from include Timothy, Paul's fellow worker. Oftentimes, guys, we think of Timothy kind of a few years down the road, where Timothy is an evangelist. Like you read the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul writes these letters to Timothy, the evangelist. But you know, Timothy was first picked up in Lystra, early in Paul's missionary journey. in Paul's first or second missionary journey, Acts chapter 16. And Timothy labored for years, actually, as a helper of Paul before he became an evangelist. I think I said that wrong. That would be... Now think about that. Yeah, that was the first part of his second missionary journey. I had to think back. Was that his first or second? But there's actually... There was close to... Let's just say... There's probably a good 12 years between where Timothy gets picked up and the writing of the letters of 1 Timothy. And during that time, man, Timothy was serving that whole time, working hard for the Lord. And you read the book of Acts, you read all of the epistles, you see the work that Timothy was doing, laboring hard for the kingdom. He's a hard worker. Lucius goes back to Antioch of Acts chapter 13. He was one of the guys there. That's mentioned, the prophets and teachers that were there in Antioch. Sosipater is how it says here. Another place is called Sopater of Berea. On Paul's third missionary journey, this guy accompanied him and was a helper. And so Romans was written about 4 years after the beginning of that third missionary journey. Tertius, Paul's scribe here. As a side note, Paul, all the work that Paul did, I'm not sure he wanted to write his own letters too, but also, I think there's some things with Paul's eyes that just kept him from actually being able to write his letters. And so there are people who are willing to help him in this. Tertius is a scribe and writes the letter of Romans. No other mention of him in the scripture. Gaius of Derbe, we know a traveling companion of Paul's, mentioned a few different times throughout the scriptures, in the book of Corinth as well. Erastus, minister to Paul, traveled with Timothy back Acts chapter 19. Also mentioned in 2 Timothy is remaining at Corinth. He was the city treasurer of Corinth. Okay, and Paul writes this letter to Rome from Corinth. And then Quartus, there's no other mention in Scripture. I just want to bring these up quickly to make the point, hey, there is a team. We benefit from the book of Romans today. Paul, as he's writing this, Paul's saying it, he's dictating it, Tertius is writing it. The church at Rome, the work that Paul did, and that they were actually, let's even put this, for Paul to be in the position that he was in was because of his teammates. I want to just hit one of, I think Mike did an excellent job in Lord's Supper meditation of bringing out all this about the team. But, Elena is on a basketball team right now. Man, she loves being on a team. She just loves the social aspect of being on a team. You show up for a little team get-together. That's a fun thing. Guys, you show up for the Lord's Supper. It's a fun thing, isn't it? By the way, who in the world, on their right mind, who in the world would skip out on team breakfast? Actually, as a side note, that really hurts the team. Probably one of the biggest disciplinary things you're going to face on a team is you skip out on team breakfast. It's a part of, it's the encouragement, it's building, it's coming together. But that's fun. Elena likes that social part of it. But that's not all there is to being a team. It's called team work for a reason. If you don't be a contributor to the team, you're going to bust your end in the practices, whether you get playing time or whether you don't. Whether you start, whether you come off the bench, your goal is to make that team better. The very best thing you can be on a team is you make everybody around you better. And that does not happen without you participating and working hard and pushing through your example and encouragement of helping others around you work hard. So, brother, I just want to hit you for a second. Some of us, we skip out on Wednesday nights. Why? Hey, some of us live long ways and I'm looking at it, my eyes met the Red Lodge couple. Hey, you guys getting out on Wednesday nights? That's a long ways out to drive in. But some of us, guys, why do we skip on Wednesday nights? What an opportunity to make our teammates better. I don't like the small groups. What do you like? You get an opportunity in the group to actually open the Word of God with your fellow Christians, to have their input, to you to get your input. What better fellowship can you have with somebody than through the Word together? Hey, I just want to talk about us being workers, right? Teamwork. Do you think that makes your brethren better when you come and participate in Bible study with them? Hey, there's nowhere in the scripture says you got to come on Wednesday night. I can show you got to take the Lord's Supper. And if you're motivated by that, hey, if you don't take the Lord's Supper yet, you're going to burn in hell. So come, get your Lord's Supper. Better do it because you don't want to go to hell. If that's your primary motivation, we'll just leave it there. But I just want to encourage you, like, hey, teamwork. These guys worked. Hey, and they were pushing together for the Lord. Team is meaningless without that. And so each of us, guys, we contribute our part. It was just Wednesday was the thing I was picking on for a second. But I don't care what it is. If you're going to be on a team and you're going to make your team better, there's going to be sacrifice that's required by you. Meaning you don't get to do always just the fun part. Always what you want to do. Well, you know, I like to do stewardship meditation, but I don't like to give my tithe. That seems kind of odd, doesn't it? You want to talk about it, but not do it. You know, I sure like potluck, but I don't want to bring anything to it. Man, I'm thankful for this building we got. Sure, I'm glad Pat Hopper got the lights fixed in the back room. But I'm never going to sign up for cleaning it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, whatever it is in you, like, I just want to encourage you. Hey, what you ask yourself, in what ways are you a contributor? This is team work. Hey, and the team, all the stuff that Mike talked about, I just bounced off and went a little pushy with it. But we want to contribute. Hey, for the team, to make everybody better. And guys, I'll just say this. If you're too good for something on this team, then you're not following the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He humbled Himself. He washed the disciples' feet. There was nothing that Jesus was too good for, and He is the King of the universe. And so, I just want to encourage you, like, there's things to do. You don't have to do it all. Please don't misunderstand me. Some of us do work hard in lots of areas, and we're not all going to do the same things. But I want to encourage you. There's things to do. Chip in and do your part. Teamwork. But what I really want to preach on today is from Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to Him who is able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. What do you think of when you think of established? You know, recently I had a Bible study with somebody and we just were in a different passage and we were going over God's establishing us, and I asked that, and the word they said is stable. I was like, that's a good word. Okay. Someone's established is stable. And what popped into my mind is a business establishment. Yeah, a business establishment, it has an actual location, a service, a reputation. You know, we live in an interesting world because the olden days, it wasn't that long ago, we would have said there's always a physical location, right? Now sometimes it's online business or whatever. But, man, there's some scams out there. Yeah, actually, I was on USA Today Sports the other day and there was some advertisement for Brooks, and I said, and it was like half off, and I was like, oh, I looked at it. I was like, I'm sending this to Justin Bolton because I think he wears Brooks running shoes. I sent it to him, and then I started looking at the name of the website. I was like, Brook Obvious or something? I was like, that's kind of weird. You think Brooks would just be Brooks. So I sent him a text like, I don't think it's legit. Like, yeah, but it was like on USA Today Sports. I figured that's... You have to check stuff out, right? But something that's established, it's legitimate. Okay? It's real. It's been there, okay? Over the long haul. Stable and dependable. Yeah, I was thinking about in Billings, roofing companies. You know, the hail comes, all these roofing companies come into town, do this stuff, and then a bunch of them, like, right back out of town. So what happens? You got problems with your roof they did a few years later. Sorry, we're not in business anymore. You're stuck. Hey, established business is ones that are over the long haul, have withstood the down times. I think about the Jacobs family and TJ Electric over there in Bozeman. And, Bozeman's a pretty hopping place. I really hop in place. And they do, but you know, Bozeman has down years every once in a while. And on those down years, I've talked to Nick a few times during that, and basically you just hold out on and you got to out survive the other guys. So during the good years, you better be putting some stuff aside for the down year. But established businesses do that, don't they? So they're there. Okay? They've done good work and taken care of issues when things have gone wrong. And I think about what Christ is saying here. God, who is able to establish us. Guys, are there ever any down times in your life? How about the storms of life? Have things ever come? You got to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We know this, but it's worth reading the exact words of Jesus on this. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Because it doesn't matter if you stand on the rock or you're on the sand, either way the storms are going to come. This is the truth of the matter. Jesus never promises, hey, you follow me and there's going to be no storms. Now, some people make that promise. It's not Jesus. Storms are going to come. Whether or not you stand or fall depends on that foundation. Depends on whether or not God's establishing you. Any valleys ever, guys, in your spiritual life? Just answer for myself. There's been some valleys. You know what the difference is between winners and losers? Winners keep going. God's ability to establish us, to help us keep going through those tough times. In times of particular adversity. You guys know the parable of the sower. Don't have time, won't hit it all. But basically, hard ground, rocky soil, thorny soil, good soil. And one of the things recently, the last time I read this, it just jumped out at me. When Jesus talks about the rocky soil, he uses this word, these guys are temporary. Temporary. That's not established. That's someone that's here and gone. God's able to establish us. Amen? We got a part. We have a responsibility in this. But God's able to establish it. You know the good soil? Those who bear fruit with perseverance. That sounds the opposite of temporary, doesn't it? Over the long haul, they're going to be able to make it and finish this. You know, some of the things that come along, you know, through the rocky soil or the thorns, affliction, persecutions, temptations, worries, deceit, pleasures of this life. You know what I find interesting? The devil will use the bad times to try to take you out, and the devil will use the good times to try to take you out. The thorns seem to be more, some of the good things. But over the long haul, that's the good soil. So we're talking about good roots with continual. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. It's interesting. Some years ago, Mark Taylor was over at my house. We're talking on the front lawn. While we're talking, he probably started it, and I figured I should join in. I got, you know, some weeds growing on the front lawn. Mark's leaning down, you know, pulling some of them out. Matter of fact, Pat Hopper, when he was over this summer, I remember the same thing. I must have a weed problem in my house. But, you know, we're just kind of pulling them out. And Mark and I are talking. Mark says, you know, this is kind of indicative of what you got to do, you know, in the church. And I think, you know, meaning helping other people, but also in your own life. You got to continue to take those weeds out. So Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you are instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Because there are, God gives us the roots. And then there needs to be continual weeding with this to be established. Lots and lots of verses in the New Testament. It's kind of fun. Actually, you get a chance to read them, look it up. All the time the Scriptures talk about being established. There's a lot in there. But there's one other picture that hit me when I was going through this. I was thinking about, it's an Old Testament picture. And it hits a few different times. It just has always really stuck with me. And I just want to read three passages about it. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. We'll just read them real quickly. You know, the pictures that the Lord paints, they're always the best ones. And I try to have illustrations and stuff to communicate, but the Lord's are always the best. And there's a picture from the Old Testament here. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. I like that, a tree that's firmly planted. Doesn't that sound like, that sounds to me like established. Go with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Doesn't that sound good? Tree. A tree that's firmly planted in the house of the Lord, that flourishes, that continues to bear fruit even in its old age. Kind of what we, some of the things we talked about yesterday in prayer meeting a little bit. Established by the Lord. How about Jeremiah chapter 17? Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Man, I like the pictures of this tree. Hey, tough times come. This tree can withstand the storms, can withstand the heat, can withstand the drought, and it's fruitful throughout its time on earth. This is a tree that's been planted by the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but man, I want to make it. I want at the end of my life for Jesus to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What a waste it would be to get in. You know, my eyes just met with Mr. Moransic there. Mr. Moransic's been around. He's been young a long time. And you've been a Christian now. Well, you were some of the first disciples that Julie and I made here in Billings. And you guys have been in this. But wouldn't it be terrible to get to this point and somehow not make it into glory? Like you live your life and you say, man, and you change the course of your life and then like establish, guys, we want to make it. All I want to make it. You want to make it? Morantics aren't quitters. I'm not worried about you guys. But it happens. Hey, sometimes those thorns, at that point in time, those thorns can come out. Choke us up. We need to be established, and it's only the Lord who can do that. It's Him. It's His roots. It's He's the one who can make that tree stand. So how does this happen? How does this do it? There was a quote that I got this morning from a friend of mine who sends me quotes every morning. It says, "Great is truth. Fire cannot burn it, nor water drown it." By Alexander Dumas. The guy who wrote Three Musketeers, Count of Monte Cristo, that guy. But I like that quote. I thought this goes with the message. Great is truth. Fire can't burn it, nor water drown it. How are we established? Paul says we're established in this passage in Romans. He says we're established by what he calls my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. I always find it interesting when Paul says my gospel. I think there's two parts of it. One is he received this by revelation. He didn't get it from anybody else. He didn't get it secondhand. He got it directly from the Lord. But I also think Paul is taking ownership of this. By the time he's given it back, he said he can say my gospel. I don't know. I think I'm a little strange when it comes to this. I get a book. I'm not talking about your... I don't grab a highlighter when I'm reading The Three Musketeers, okay, or Count of Monte Cristo. But lots of reading that I do, I'm trying to learn something. I'll grab a highlighter and I'll grab a pen and I'll highlight parts of it that I want to remember or I want to at least get back to and see soon. Carolyn's seen some of my books with my writing in it, highlight, and I'll make notes. I'll argue with it, like I don't like question writing, like I don't, this isn't right, you know. And I'll, but by the time I'm done with it, whoever wrote it, I don't really know. Offense to whoever wrote it, but I don't really care who wrote it. It's mine by the time I'm done with it. You know what I mean by that? You say, maybe I'm a little strange that way. But these are, somebody else helped me. They guided me on some things, but they're my thoughts. They're my, by the time I'm done with it. The Apostle Paul with the gospel, guys, it was his gospel. And I want you to think about that in your life. With the gospel, we read it. The nice thing about this, you don't have to argue with it. You got to argue with yourself. So I have to argue with myself sometimes. Say, hey, like this is what this says. This is what's right. We fight our way through it. You know what we do? We argue for it, don't we? I don't like this, but I think it proves a point. That, you know, these Mormons sending these 18-year-old kids out for a couple of years to go and spread the false doctrine of Mormonism. But you go into people's houses and you fight for something for 2 years, even if it's a bunch of baloney, by the time you're done with that, you're pretty committed to it for your life. How much more, guys, is the truth? If we have to fight for this, if we argue for it, if we go and we share it with people and we take people's objections and we, like, it's yours. And the Apostle Paul could say, my gospel. And then, of course, when we live it, also, that just firms it up. Even more, like, this is ours. What the gospel? What the basis of the gospel? We know 1 Corinthians 15 lays it out. But let's just say Jesus' life on earth, his death, his resurrection, his appearance, his ascension, and his return for judgment. A good summary of the gospel. And so Paul says, hey, this is what establishes us. This in the preaching of Jesus Christ, which I'm actually excited next week to... I might skip a week because next week's like Christmas time, so I might hit a birth of Christ message in there. But 2 weeks probably from now, a little more of what that preaching of Jesus Christ is in reference to this mystery. And because it's going to tie in too with the streams of water, this tree that's planted by the streams of water. You guys, most of you know what I'm talking about. But I guess today, I just want you to leave you with this. Go back to Romans chapter 16. We're not quite done yet. Just in case I got your hopes up when I said I'm leaving you with this. I got a couple more, but we're closing in on the conclusion, okay? Romans 16, verse 25. Let's just read this first part again. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ. Guys, this is the only way to be established is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You know, no self-help books that you read are ever going to establish you. Like Jeff Bisco in his opening this morning, and from my message last week, like Satan, he's the one who, like, he pours this river out of his mouth like a flood, right? Like, he's going to try to overtake you. He fires these flaming darts, these flaming missiles at you. Like, there is no other way to withstand him than through the preaching of Jesus Christ, than through the Word. And no, you can try to pep talk yourself all day long. And you get out there and you're going to just get crushed by Satan. There's no training program other than that given by Christ that's going to get us through. One of the songs we sang today, we have an anchor, right? Aren't you glad, guys, that we have an anchor for the soul? A hope that is sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Jesus, the fact of His, I'll just say it all, the gospel, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, like this is the anchor that holds us in here, that doesn't let us fall away, even no matter what Satan throws at us. We can stand firm through this. You know, Colossians chapter 2, we read a verse from that earlier. But the first part of that chapter, Colossians 2, makes the point that in Christ are found all the treasures of wisdom. And you can, the end of the book of Ecclesiastes talks about all these books. As you can read the books, the wisdom of men, till you can read them all. You can search, you can travel around the world, you can hit every library that's ever been, and now you don't even have to travel to do that. Okay? You can just Google it or whatever. You're never going to get a way to be established other than Jesus Christ. This is the book. The Word of God is what's able to build us up. Amen? The Word of God is what's able to strengthen us. It's what's able to, through the encouragement and the perseverance of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Guys, the battle's fierce. It never lets up. So the one thing I'm going to say today is Bible. Bible. More Bible. Like, you can't get enough. You can't get too much of this. The battle's fierce. But there is one who's able to establish it, and he establishes us through the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Brethren, hang on. No quit. Quitting's not an option for any of us. I mean, I guess you got to decide that. But don't let it be an option. One way or another, you're going to power through. And it's going to be through Christ, through His Word. So, Bible, Bible, more Bible. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are really grateful, Lord, that You are our dad and that You know. Father, You see everything. You see our failures. You see our shortcomings. But You also see our victories. Lord, You know us. And You know exactly what it takes to withstand and to overcome. Lord, You have the perfect design. You have the perfect plan to establish us. I pray, Lord, for each of us, that we would be established in our faith according to Your Word. or that we would have the teamwork that we heard about this morning and we saw an example of in the book of Romans. That we would be in this the same for the same mission. That we would be willing to sacrifice for each other to help each other on the road to heaven. There really is, Lord, when we boil this down, there really is only one thing that matters, and we know that is that we spend eternity with You and then we help others spend eternity with You. So Father, whatever the afflictions, persecutions, temptations, deception, worries of this life, deceitfulness of riches, pleasures of this life, any of those things, or when we push them all aside and see You in all of Your glory, and be in Your Word, dig in, renew our minds in accordance with the Scriptures, and that we would walk by Your Spirit, that we would be led by Your Spirit, that we would follow You, Lord. Pick up our cross and follow You. We're confident, Father, no matter what the present circumstances are, no matter our current condition, even if we're in one of those valleys right now, Lord, we are confident in You. That if You build the house, it will stand. And so we put our trust and our hope in You, and we know that the person who does that is a tree that's firmly planted. We're appreciative for that promise. We're appreciative, Lord, to know that we don't have to do this on our own. It's Your strength in us that makes this possible. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.